بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers, dear sisters, honored guests and dear visitors, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We begin by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending peace and salutations upon the final messenger of God, the final messenger of Allah, in the chain of prophets beginning from Adam, peace be upon him, through all the other prophets of Allah, from Nuh to Musa, through Isa and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In 2005, American cyclist Lance Armstrong was on top of the sporting world. He had won 7 consecutive prestigious Tour de France titles. But this week, after repeated and vehement denials, he was on TV last night, taped earlier this week, with Oprah, confessing to the use of drugs and a lot more to enhance his performance, which of course was illegal. And if you actually watched the interview or heard some parts of it, it actually sounded like an interrogation. Did you do this? Yes. Did you do that? Yes, yes, yes. Sadly, it's not only athletes that turn to drugs and other harmful substances to get that which they cannot get naturally. Regular people, young and old, also take drugs and other substances, sometimes to get that which they cannot achieve, they cannot get naturally. Sometimes it's for escapism, to escape from the reality, which many times is not very pleasant. So if someone is dealing with stress, with anxiety, with worries, with problems at home, at work, or other circumstances, and they want an escape, and they want to get away from that for some time, and they're not able to otherwise, then drugs sometimes do the trick, or appear to do so anyway. Sometimes people are looking for acceptance, especially younger people, and there may be peer pressure. So all your friends are doing drugs, then there is the pressure to try it as well. Sometimes it's an easy way to gain attention. There's a lack of love and a lack of attention. And all of a sudden, when a child starts taking drugs or starts selling drugs, then all of a sudden everyone starts paying attention. Sometimes perhaps it's for stimulation, to kill boredom. Well, there's nothing better to do. Right? What's that saying? That an empty mind is a devil's workshop. Right? So there's nothing better to do. You're bored. You live in a small town. There's nothing really to do. Everything closes early on a Friday night or whatever it is, and there's nothing really, to engage the mind, or so one thinks, and therefore one turns to different things, and sometimes drugs is one of those things. Sometimes it's for loneliness. People, and it's amazing how many of us are becoming lonelier and lonelier, even though we have hundreds of friends on Facebook, right? And we meet people every day. And we have hundreds or even thousands of followers on Twitter. Yet we still may be lonely. And sometimes that's what leads people to take drugs. Or sometimes it's just rebellion. So rebelling against whatever authorities are saying or whatever the parents are saying. Rebelling against established norms and rules and regulations. Anecdotally, we are hearing and we are seeing that alcohol and drugs, unfortunately, are becoming a serious problem in Muslim communities as well. Are becoming, if they are not already, unfortunately. There are more youth, more Muslim youth, who are asking about drugs, who are admitting to using and selling drugs, and even right here in our city as well, I might add. Statistics about drinking, right? I mean, you're probably thinking, why is the imam telling us about drinking and on a Friday while we're sitting in the masjid? We all know it's haram, we all know it's prohibited. But statistics tell us that 47% of Muslim college students take note, 47% of Muslim college students in the U.S. drink. 16% Muslim college students in the U.S. binge drink, meaning they're serious drinkers. And statistics in Canada are probably not much different than that in the U.S. And this is not just limited to youth, right? As adults face pressures and stress and problems, we're all susceptible to falling for these temptations and these traps. So the first thing that must be very clear is we must understand that the guidelines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidelines that God has given us, and that His Messenger, peace and blessings be upon Him, has given us, they're all for our own benefit. They're all for our own benefit. Right? There's no pleasure, right, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to just give commands to say, don't do this and do this and do that and don't do this. It's for our own benefit. If you don't follow it, it's not going to hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't follow the commands of Allah, we are going to be the ones who are going to lose out. It's not going to affect Allah. It's not going to make a difference to Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. He knows what is best for us. And thus He has given us guidelines for gaining maximum benefit in the long run, throughout our lives, and minimizing harm in every way. So the guidelines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us are for maximizing benefit throughout our lives and for minimizing harm every step of the way. If we do not stick to these guidelines, we will lose out one way or the other, even though it may not appear to be the case immediately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا O you who believe إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من أعمال الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون. Right, Allah addresses the believers and He tells us that the intoxicants and gambling, other things as well, are filth which have been made up by shaitan. These are filth which have been made up by shaitan, so avoid it so that you may be successful. Avoid it so that you may be successful. So if you fall into these things, you are putting your success at risk. You will not be successful. So if you want to be successful, you avoid these things, because these have been created by shaitan. These are filth which have been created by shaitan. And why? What is the aim to achieve? What is the goal? Allah tells us in the next verse, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ وَيَسُدَّكُمْ عَن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. The shaitan, what does he want? He only wants to cause between you animosity and hatred. What pleases shaitan? What does he want? He wants to cause between you animosity and hatred through intoxicants and through gambling. This is what he wants to do. This is what he aims to do. And to avert you from the remembrance of Allah and from prayer. Right? So this is the goal of shaitan in creating these things, is to create animosity and hatred between people, to avert us from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from prayer, to take us away from the remembrance of Allah and from salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. That's, so will you not desist? Will you not stop then? And stay away from these things. And it's so true that if you ask lawyers, right, who work in court or who are going to court regularly, if you ask the prosecutors, the people who cover court cases, I've covered a few as a reporter, but not that many, but you'll find, and they'll tell you, that many of the cases that they hear daily in court have to do with these things. Right? The cases of many of the cases that involve, you know, violence and disputes within the home and other types of violence between people, even financial cases, divorce cases, many times, what are the factors or some of the factors involved? Has to do with alcohol. Has to do with drugs. Right? Somebody was intoxicated, was drunk, was high, didn't know what he was doing, didn't know what she was doing, went out and did something crazy, caused a criminal offense, hurt someone, killed someone. Right? Family's falling apart. A lot of the time, this is what is causing the problem. So we must be very clear in understanding that, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited alcohol. But that is not the only thing which has been clearly prohibited. When we read these verses, they're not just referring to alcohol. Because the word is khamr, right? And when we think of khamr, we tend to think of alcohol. But khamr has a broader meaning to it. Khamr has a broader meaning to it. So one is what is, you know, what is generally referred to as alcohol or wine, but khamr is that which comes over the human intelligence. That which comes over the human intelligence, which covers a person's mind from his senses, disconnects the senses from the mind. So meaning anything and everything which intoxicates a person's mind. Right. So the only substance that intoxicates the mind, of course, is not only alcohol, but also every other substance that clouds the mind. Drugs, of course, do the same thing. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu muskirin khamrun wa kullu muskirin haramun." That every intoxicant is khamr. Because the word that is used in the Quran, in the hadith, in the words of the Prophet ﷺ is khamr. So he said that every intoxicant is khamr. So don't just think that khamr is referring to wine, or is just referring to drinking alcohol. But every intoxicant is khamr, wa kullu muskirin haramun, and every intoxicant is haram, is prohibited. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said that he heard his father Umar radiallahu anhu say from the minbar, from the pulpit of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-khamru ma khamar al-aql. That what is khamr? Khamr is whatever befogs the mind. So if it's affecting your mind, your ability to think clearly, right? If it's cutting you away from your senses and you don't know what you're doing after you take a particular substance, then that is khamr. And that is prohibited. Prophet ﷺ also said that that which intoxicates in large quantities is prohibited in small quantities as well. Right? So if you say that I'm just going to take a little bit, right? I'm just going to smoke a little bit of whatever drug you're smoking. No, but that is also prohibited. If a large quantity intoxicates, then even a small quantity of that substance is also prohibited. In other narrations, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described intoxicants as a few things, a number of things, the key to all evils. The key to all evils, the head of all errors and lapses, the mother of all evils. This is why there's so much emphasis on abstaining from these substances and making sure that we keep ourselves clean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a simple principle. Allah has given us a simple principle. When he says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. Right, so he told, Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they ask you concerning khamr and gambling. They ask you, people ask you regarding intoxicants and gambling. Say to them, in them is a great sin. In them is a great sin and some benefit for people. There is a great sin, but yes, there is some benefit for people, but the sin of them is greater than their benefit. The sin, the harm that is going to come from that is greater than whatever benefit there may be in it. Okay, so the principle we get from that is whenever we have anything which will cause us more harm, which is harmful to us, and it's common sense, right? Then its benefits, then it is to be avoided, it is to be prohibited. So the guidance is very clear. The guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is very clear regarding intoxicants, regarding drugs. But it's not just limited to alcohol and drugs and illicit substances. It's not just limited to that. Because the prohibition of khamr is there, that anything that befogs the mind. And so any substance that we take that befogs the mind, cuts us away, or makes us act loosely, takes us away from our senses, is prohibited as khamr. But on top of that, that's one reasoning. But on top of that, there's another reason. And that is that anything that is destructive to our bodies, to ourselves, is also prohibited. Anything that is destructive to ourselves, to our bodies, is also prohibited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Do not put yourselves into destruction. Don't use your hands, don't use yourselves to cause destruction to yourselves. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also said that there should be neither harming nor reciprocating harm. La darar wa la dirar, right? There should be neither harming nor reciprocating harm. Okay, so you should not be harming anyone, including your own bodies and yourselves. Right? You should not be harming yourself. So anything that is destructive to our bodies, to ourselves, is included in this. Allah says, don't harm yourselves. Right? Don't cause destruction to yourselves. So this is why smoking, for example, is classified as prohibited by many Islamic scholars. Because why? We know clearly it is destructive to our health. Abusing prescription drugs, over-the-counter drugs, would also fall under this. So they're not exactly illegal, but they're harmful, or they can be harmful to our bodies. Right? And there's strange things that happen. You know, especially when, you know, people are have nothing better to do, and we're talking about younger people. Well, it happens sometimes. May not be common here, but you know, there have been cases, and I've heard this from people, where, you know, children, even Muslim children, are involved in having parties where what they do, everyone brings their whatever drugs are available in their homes. Prescription drugs, over-the-counter drugs, cold medicine, cough medicine, you know, cough syrup, Advil, this, that, whatever. Right? And it's all pulled together. It's all put together into a cocktail, trail mix. And they take turns taking it to see what kind of high they get or what kind of feeling they get from that. And people have been seriously hurt by that. Even killed. Right? Because you're talking about a drug overdose, and when a person goes to the hospital in that state, in the ER, the nurses and the doctors don't even know how to treat you properly because they don't even know what interactions have happened between drugs. Right? So these are things which happen. I just, this morning, I tweeted Kingston Police and I asked them that, you know, is it common to see homes being broken into where drugs are being stolen? And they said, yes, that does happen. Where there are break-ins in homes and people are looking, whoever's breaking in is looking for drugs, prescription drugs, over-the-counter drugs, anything they can find. And just after that, they issued a release, and I didn't know about this, that they had released a person, they had arrested an individual who was wanted in Ottawa for stealing prescription drugs from a pharmacy. And they arrested him in Kingston recently. So, you know, just because a drug is not illegal, it doesn't mean that it's okay to abuse it, even from an Islamic perspective, right? Even possibly, I would say, energy drinks. I mean, energy drinks have been in the news, and people are increasingly being hospitalized for, you know, drinking too much whatever, you know, Monster or Red Bull or whatever it is, and it's having adverse effects on people's health. So if we know that something is dangerous for our health and it could cause problems, then that is something which must be avoided. I'm not giving a fatwa against energy drinks, but all I'm saying is that we need to be careful about these things and try to avoid them as much as possible when we know that there is a real possibility of harm coming to our bodies. So if you have been able to save yourself from alcohol, from drugs, from all these other things, then say Alhamdulillah. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say Alhamdulillah. And I heard many Alhamdulillah, so that's great. Inshallah. And keep away. Right? Keep away from that. Don't even try it. No matter how tempting it is, no matter how stressed out you are, no matter how much pressure there is. It's like, you know, like they tell kids, say no to drugs, just stay away. Don't get into it because it's a vicious trap. And once you get into it, it's going to be very difficult to get out. Or it could be very difficult to get out. And if we have become involved for one reason or the other, then let us understand that the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prohibited things is because Allah wants us to be safe from harm. Allah wants us to be safe from harm, from insanity, from degeneration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be safe from weaknesses, from temptations. And one of these issues, one of these things which Allah wants us to be safe from is these addictions to alcohol and drugs and the usage of these things which are not good for us and which harm us. And there will be no benefit from such things. They may appear to be beneficial. It may appear to feel good momentarily. You might get a high, whatever. You might get accepted, whatever it is. But there will be no benefit from such things. There will only be harm upon harm upon harm. If not in the short term, then for sure in the long term. And let us reflect that Allah has created us as the best of creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the human being has been created as the most noble, as the best of the creations of Allah. So why should we treat ourselves so lowly, right? That we are dumping these destructive substances into our bodies. Allah has created us as the best, as the most honorable of the creation. So why are we putting ourselves in a situation where we're using our bodies as a garbage dump, where we're putting all of these destructive substances into our bodies? And our bodies, which are a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This body that I have, right, is not my body. Allah has lent me, Allah has given me this body. It's a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, verily your body has a right over you. your body, your very own body has a right over you, that you take care of it and you treat it with as much care as possible and treat it the way it should be treated. But why are we even taking these substances and selling them to others? Right? We're surprised to find that, yes, in many places there are Muslims who are dealing drugs, who are the leaders on the streets, who are arranging for these things for other people to have. And they say, oh, well, it doesn't matter, at least I'm not taking it, I'm giving it to others. No. That is not the quality of a believer. That's not the way a believer thinks. That I'm safe, but I'm going to give it to others and I don't care what happens to others. Is this why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this life and these bodies? Is this why Allah has given us all of these things, so that we cause this type of destruction to ourselves and to others? No, that's not why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this. Right, so it can be difficult, I understand. Right? Because many of these drugs, many of these substances are addictive, and it can be very, very difficult to get off. But the change has to come from within. Change has to come from within, and it starts with the realization that there is a problem. So if there's anyone who is addicted or who is taking these substances, even sometimes, right, first thing you need to do, my dear brothers and sisters, is recognize that yes, there is a problem. And once we recognize that yes, there's a problem, then the next step is to see, okay, how can we fix it? But if we never realize and accept that there's a problem, then we're never going to get around to fixing it. It's the first thing we need to do is accept to ourselves that yes, I have a problem and I need to try to fix it. And we are the ones with the power to fix it, with Allah's help. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us willpower, He's given us, you know, a mind, and He's given us power and energy, and He's there for helping us. Right? But that change has to come from within ourselves. If we know anyone who's involved in these things, in such activities, then we should reach out to them and try to convince them nicely. Right? Not put them down, but nicely to seek help and to change their habits. Right? Have a conversation when possible, if possible. Right? And try to convince them to understand that this is a path which will not lead to anything good. I would encourage all of us, especially parents, to find out the signs of drug use in teens. Right? How can you tell that if someone is involved in taking drugs? Right? Be aware of those signs. And if you suspect or come across drug use, seek help in dealing with the issue. Okay, don't react emotionally or with anger. Right? You're going through your child's bag. First of all, don't do that, please. Right? It's terrible for trust between parents and children. And then you find something in their closet or their bag and you storm in up to them and say, what is this? I find, you know, what are these? Don't do that. Right? It's not going to help the situation. So don't react with emotion. Right? Don't react emotionally or with anger, even though you may feel that way. It's a serious, it's a delicate situation. And so, you know, try to seek help from professionals or those who deal with such issues and who deal with children in such situations. Right? Realize that someone who is taking drugs, someone who is addicted, may not be able to think logically, may not be able to think rationally the way you may be thinking. Their decision-making ability may be weakened. Right? So our approach needs to be wise and tactful as well. Right? Because if we're clean and alhamdulillah, our mind, our sense is intact, and we are thinking rationally, logically, it makes no sense to us why someone would do this. But someone who's already involved in this and who's already doing it, who's already addicted, they may not be thinking the same way. Their ability to think, maybe half of your ability. And for them, the most important thing would be, perhaps, to get the next shot and to get the next dose, right? That's what they're worried about. They can't think the same way that you're thinking. So take that into account and be wise and tactful. And always seek professional help and professional advice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help those, all of those who are afflicted with such diseases, because this is a very serious and rampant disease, not just, you know, here, everywhere. Muslim, you go anywhere, it's a problem all over the place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us, first of all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the suffering of those who are involved in such things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take the disease of drugs and alcohol away from our community, and by that I mean our Muslim community, the broader Kingston community, this whole country, the planet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand and realize the dangers and harms of drugs and alcohol. May He protect all of us. Ameen wa akhira wa alhamdulillah.